want to thank Brother Marvin for his sincere prayer, and it means a lot when you're up here to have somebody pray like that for you, and I really appreciate that, and all of you who are prayed for the one who would stand up here this evening. For a title to the message, it would be in the form of a question, and that is, does the truth matter? In the classroom setting of one of the Peanuts cartoons, it is the first day of school, and the students must write an essay about returning to class. And in her essay, Lucy wrote, "Vacations are nice, but it's good to get back to school. There is nothing more satisfying or challenging than education, and I look forward to a year of expanding knowledge." Wow. Wonder if we'd get any of those if we tried that. Needless to say, the teacher was pleased with Lucy and complimented her fine essay. And in the cartoon, Charlie Brown is looking on with dismay. And in the final frame of the cartoon, Lucy leans over and whispers to Charlie Brown, "After a while, you learn what sells." And you know, that's pretty much where we're at today in our society, with a lot of people say what people want to hear. The opposite of this was demonstrated when a teacher, I guess I'm picking on teachers, but when a teacher named Mrs. Fisher was recovering from surgery and got a card from her fourth grade class, and it said this, "Dear Mrs. Fisher, your fourth grade class wishes you a speedy recovery by a vote of 15 to 14. Now, evidently, someone placed some value on the truth in that case, even though it may not have been the most encouraging message to the teacher. Two opposite themes or thoughts concerning the truth. William Barclay wrote about a famous evangelist by the name of Brownlow North, who in his early days had lived a life that was anything but Christian. And once, just before he was to enter the pulpit in a church in Aberdeen, Mr. North received a letter that recalled a shameful series of events he had been engaged in. Upon reading the letter, it caused his stomach to turn. The letter concluded by saying, "If you have the gall to preach tonight, I'll stand and expose you." North took that letter and went to his knees. And a few minutes later, he was in the pulpit. He began his message by reading the letter from start to finish. And he said, "I want to make it clear that this letter is perfectly true. I am ashamed of what I have read and what I have done. And I come tonight not as one who is perfect, but as one who is forgiven." I think every minister here can relate to that letter. God used that letter in the balance of his ministry to reach out to people. How we respond to the truth and handle the truth will make all the difference in our lives. We can make decisions based on the truth that will be to our ultimate benefit. Now, sometimes it's not always good things happening after we make those decisions, but to our ultimate benefit. Or we can reject the truth and run from it, with eventually the truth catching up to us, bringing us to our knees, so to speak, in dismay, to our detriment. Pilate is an example of a man who ignored the truth and tried to run from it. And we know that from Matthew's account that even while sitting in judgment of Jesus, Pilate's wife thought it was important enough to break in while he was sitting there in judgment of Jesus and tell him, don't have anything to do with this righteous man. And even after his questioning of Jesus, Pilate knew that this man, Jesus, he was innocent and was not deserving of death as the Jewish leaders were claiming. Still, though Pilate tried to avoid the truth by not having to make a decision on Jesus, he tried to avoid the truth by not having to make a decision on Jesus. In fact, he wanted to, as we know from accounts in Scripture, he wanted to send Jesus to Herod when he found that he was from Galilee. And in other words, let Herod deal with him so I don't have to make a decision, even though he knew he was innocent. And in the end, Pilate called Jesus a just man in Matthew 27:24, and tried to maintain innocence, his own innocence, by publicly washing his hands of the situation. Yet still he was willing to hand Jesus over to be killed for what? Well, most likely to save his political career and possibly his life. Pilate had come face to face with the truth, face to face with Jesus, face to face with the truth. Pilate knew the truth that Jesus was innocent, and in an effort not to make a decision but to about Jesus, and he chose to ignore the truth, which in reality meant he simply rejected the truth. No matter how much he tried to let others decide for him, still he chose to reject the truth in the end. The point is this: what we do with the truth is our choice. What you do with the truth is your choice. And what I do with it is my choice. A choice that we each will make. There's no ignoring or avoiding the truth so as to relinquish my responsibility. You know, if I just push it aside and kind of ignore it or avoid it, I'm not responsible and I don't have to decide. There's no such thing. There's no middle ground. We choose one way or the other, either to accept the truth and live by it or reject it and die by it. Pilate, as far as we know, rejected and died by it. In John 18:33, in the reading that Brother Marvin read, during his questioning, Pilate asked Jesus, he said, "Art thou king of the Jews?" One of the questions, and there's numerous questions in the account. If you were to read that over and read the whole context. But again, Pilate trying to find any way he could to avoid making a decision on Jesus, but he asks, "Art thou king of the Jews?" And part of Jesus' response to that question is in jumping to verse 36. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence?" Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" And Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king." In other words, yes, I am a king. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" I don't know about you, but if somebody's sitting in judgment of me, I don't want them asking, "What is truth?" But that's an important question. In other words, I'm hoping they already know what is truth. But that question is still being asked today, a question that is so important that it must be answered correctly, doesn't it? Because if people don't know what the truth is, the result soon will be that there is no basis for wrong and right, and we see that in our society today. What is truth? A question that must be answered correctly. Well, we can go to Scripture. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth. Jesus was an embodiment of the truth. John 14:17 says, even the Spirit, capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So as believers, we have the Holy Spirit, who is truth within us, living within us, guiding us into the truth. In John 15:26, again referring to the Holy Spirit, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send on you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. And then John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus is the truth. The Holy Spirit, God, is the truth. And God's word is the truth. Harold writes in his commentary on John, and I quote, truth is that which can be depended upon and does not fail or change or disappoint. Truth is faithfulness to a standard, and the standard for the Christian is the Word of God as found in the Bible, unquote. Another definition of truth is this: truth is what God says it is, regardless of what we believe or feel. You know, our beliefs, or my believing, or my feelings don't change the truth, do they? Truth doesn't change. It's what God says it is, regardless of what we believe or feel. So does truth matter? How important is it? What is the most important? Is faith more important, feelings more important, or is it truth? The answer to that, I think you know. A right understanding of what is the truth is most important. Why? Because faith that is not based on the truth is simply a faith or believing the wrong thing. And it may have some benefits, depending on what it is, practical benefits. In that case, it's probably truth to it then, if it has some practical benefits. But it's really believing the wrong thing. And when our feelings are not based on the truth, they become deceptive and can even be dangerous to us. The truth is the most important. When God's truth is rejected, the result is there's no longer absolute truth, is it? If God's truth is rejected, God's word is rejected, there's no longer absolute truth. And when there's no absolute truth, anything can be acceptable. Anything. Yeah. It's all in what I think then. If there's no absolute truth, it's, you know, what I think is right for this situation at this time because of the circumstances, because of who's involved, this is right. And the next time it might be different. There's no absolute truth when God's truth is rejected. You see, the homosexuality question that is facing the Church of the Brethren is not as much about that issue as it is about the issue of whether God's word is still the truth and whether it's still the final authority. And whether we will accept the truth or reject it. And D.L. Moody said this, and I quote, the best way to show that a stick is crooked is not to argue about it or to spend time denouncing it, but to lay a straight stick alongside it. Kind of makes a point, don't it? In other words, the best way to show untruth is to know the true truth When God's truth is rejected and there's no absolute truth, what happens? Popular opinion often rules, and one is quicker to fall to that good old thing called peer pressure. Pilate is an example of a person who caved to peer pressure. And you see, peer pressure is not just something young people face. You know, we like to make that an issue or say, you know, be concerned about the young people with the peer pressure, and that's true. But we older ones face peer pressure day after day. See, Pilate was more concerned about the popular thinking and willing to please the crowd in exchange for rejecting the truth. So the point is this. We already said that each of us will make a choice concerning the truth. The point is this also, that when trying to follow popular opinion or trying to please the crowd, it often commands the price tag of rejecting the truth. And the second thought would be this. When rejecting the truth, there is always a price to pay. Always a price to pay. Billy Graham said, and I quote, "It is contrary to reason for a thirsty person to turn from a pure, sparkling mountain stream to quench his thirst at a stale, putrid cistern. Yet that is what the human race does when it rejects God's truth and standards in favor of the devil's impure philosophies." Unquote. You know, we'll never err if we stand on the side of truth. It's safe. We'll never err. However, we need to still be careful. Because just because something is true does not mean that we should say it. You know, sometimes the thinking is, well, it's true. Don't hurt if I say it. Oh, yes, it does sometimes. Nor does it mean just because it's true, it doesn't matter how I say it. We need to also add here that there are responsibilities placed on us if we choose to accept the truth instead of rejecting it. You know, we said there's two choices. Either reject it, toss it aside, choose to reject it, or we choose to accept it. Well, there's some responsibilities placed on us if we choose to accept the truth. One of those is we need to read it and know it. That's a responsibility. Secondly, we need to obviously believe it, which includes allowing God to take that truth and put it into my heart so that it changes not just my outside, but my heart condition that results in my outside behavior and the way I act and look and think. It means that I become accountable to Him for all my actions. It means rejecting the world's philosophies and ways. And thirdly, another responsibility, if I accept the truth, is to obey it. And then fourthly, we are called to proclaim it. This is the truth. We need to proclaim it. People are wondering, what is truth in the world or in society? They don't know which way is up. We have the truth right at our hands, in our hearts. We need to proclaim it and let them know, here's the truth. It's your choice what you do with it. I'm not going to force it down your throat, but here's what it is. Let's consider one more thought from Pilate's rejection of the truth. That's this. Though the truth seemed to be losing out, you know, obviously Jesus was completely innocent. No sin of his own. Pilate knew he was innocent. But still he handed him over to the Jews to be crucified by the Roman soldiers. And so the truth seemed to be losing. What value is the truth if it's going to lose out? What was happening? Ultimately, God was fulfilling a wonderful redemption plan. And so even though the truth was ignored and rejected by Pilate, the truth wasn't defeated. And the point is this, that ultimately the truth will always prevail. Ultimately, the truth will always prevail. Even when it seems we are losing, or we can rest assured that God's truth is at work and will always come out on top in the end. And no matter what someone may think or what they may not know, when we are on the side of the truth, we can have peace and know that ultimately, you know what? I can rest in the fact that God's truth and the truth will win. Someone put to words the words of a song that says this. Some say his birth was of a virgin. Some think his miracles can be explained away. Some say that he was just a good man. Even though he died, he wasn't really raised. Skeptics rise and speak their lies. You hear a lot of lies today? Yeah. But the truth is marching on. The truth is marching on down the corridors of time. Invincible, divine. Until all that's false is finally gone. And there's going to be a point when all that's false is gone. The truth is marching on. There will always be cynics and scoffers. Our faith has always had its noisy enemies. They may rise up, but only for a moment. Yet we see evidence through the centuries. It's Jesus Christ. He's the way, the life, and the truth will keep marching on and on and on. What we do with the truth is our choice. When trying to follow popular opinion or trying to please the crowd, it often commands the price tag of rejecting the truth. When rejecting the truth, there is always a price to pay. And ultimately, the truth will prevail. And we can rest in that tonight and tomorrow and every day of our lives. And that should bring us peace.